You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right now.
And that's it. The buzzer sounds on a Celtic sweep.
This is a very dicey subject, folks.
I know so many people wanted to see us fail.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And everybody's laying into Ben Simmons. We just don't know what's happening.
Earlier on the show, Cincinnati cornerback Sauce Gardner. Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus, Ohio State wide receiver Garrett Wilson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. As soon as I am done from here, I'm on the first thing smoking to Las Vegas, Nevada. Yes, indeed.
LAX,
I'm heading out.
LAX.
And actually, later on today, you will see me on the NFL Network set that has been, I have been told, built into the fountains at the Bellagio Hotel. Like we're in Ocean's 11. And I was told that the stage is set in that lake and that the fountains are still going to go.
They got pictures.
And I was told that if it gets windy at any point in time, I can get some sort of Ocean's 11 spray from the fountains.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'll be sending out pictures later on today.
Cool, man.
And then there's Daniel Jeremiah. So I'm going to be doing, as they say, a hit on television tonight. We'll be doing a Welcome to Vegas segment. And then tomorrow night, the Daniel Jeremiah mock draft show at 8 Eastern time, 5 o'clock there in Vegas. If you're strolling by the Bellagio Fountains on Las Vegas Boulevard, come along and say hi. And then we'll see if you can be our grease man to break into Terry Benedict's vault. How many Vegas references can I make? Like, I'm literally thinking about writing down.
You have to.
Because I've got 3 days and 7 rounds of picks.
Now, are you going to make, like, the original Ocean's 11 references, or are you going to keep it to the Clooney, Brad Pitt?
Dude, I know you. I'm an old school guy, but I mean, how many Joey Bishop references will go over properly? I just went over your head with that one, didn't I?
Rich,
Norman
I sit,
Fell.
I sit here every day, and you make references that I don't get, and that our audience doesn't, because I just want you
I'm just encouraging
you to be a little more current. That's
sometimes
all.
It's just for me.
Okay.
I'll be very honest with you. But you already understood that.
I know.
This man's going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada, because he's announcing the Buffalo Bills 3rd-round pick. And he's a delight whenever he comes on this program from Good Morning Football on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is our friend Kyle Brandt. How you been, Kyle?
I'm good, Rich. How do the hamstrings feel, my friend?
Oh, they're barking.
Are they?
Yes, they are barking. They let me know they're still there. Oh, my God.
I was thinking about you with your run. And I was thinking, however impossible it may be, I wish somehow we could get a stopwatch on you to run 40 yards. When on one night, maybe Friday night,
yes.
The name is called of San Diego State punter Matt Araiza.
Oh,
and you do a John Ross 4.23 40 running clear across the water out of excitement. That's what we need.
Well, I'll already be warmed up in case anybody takes Sauce Gardner before the Jets to intercept the card from being read at the podium. You know, I just spoke to him in the
breaking news. I saw just now that Andrew Siciliano on the NFL Network asked Sauce Gardner what his favorite sauce is.
Yes, we did too. We asked him that 2 hours ago. We said it's any sauce is what he said. So he mentioned
like
some. He says it's barbecue sauce, and then I went through many sauces, and then showed my age plus potentially my Judaism when I asked him about apple. being the sauce. I stopped him dead in his tracks.
He was like, yeah, I had that growing up.
I'm fascinated where he comes out on one of the more polarizing sauces with character concerns like Hollandaise.
That's a red flag.
Sort of a system sauce, if you ask me. I'd have to know what he thought.
That would be
his only red flag. Red flag. Hollandaise has been said. God bless you, Kyle. Oh, man. All right. Story of the draft going in based on your sitting at the breakfast table and hearing pretty much every narrative from soup to nuts is what? What do you got?
Mystery and chaos. I'm really excited for this draft, Rich. And I'm most excited, I think, for Friday morning.
Okay.
Because people are going to be so mad and so flummoxed. Because this is this great part of the draft process where the general fan that we love and respect, they're just convinced and they think that the mock drafts are right. They think that they're going to be accurate. And mock drafts are a fun exercise. They're an exploration of what could happen. But when someone's favorite team doesn't take Malik Willis because, you know, Lance Zierlein said they would and the fan loses their mind, yes. That's the way it works. And I was just looking. I was doing a mock roundup.
Yes.
So even if you just look at the mocks in the NFL media group, of which there are about eight, this draft is crazy. Because normally, you know, you have the first three or four picks. You kind of know they're coming or they're leaked. And you're kind of thinking as a fan, let's get to the crazy picks. Let's get to the drunk picks. They're all drunk. All 32. Nine different players mocked into the top five. We have Kenny Pickett going to the Lions at 2. We have Kenny Pickett going to the Lions at 32. Schrager has Matt Corral going in the first round. Charles Davis has Desmond Ridder. Peter King has Malik Willis falling out of the first round. And both Cynthia Freeland and Bucky Brooks have zero quarterbacks in the first round. It's already three Irish car bombs deep at the bar. And we haven't started.
So March must have been a major Jello shot then, you know,
because this
whole thing's been drunk ever since Brady said he was unretiring 2 days before free agency. This whole thing has been off its axis.
Yes, and remember, you know, I'm just talking about the picks. Let's not forget, if you're out having a bender with your friends and you're just having beers or whatever, and someone has this terrible idea of, let's do some mind erasers, guys. The mind erasers, in this sense, are in the middle of the draft.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, Deebo Samuel was just traded. And breaking news, Jimmy Garoppolo was traded and Baker Mayfield was traded. Those aren't even the picks. Those are the mind erasers that you drink from bottom up with a straw and then you pass out in a gutter. And that's not even the main course of the 32 picks. People say, oh, this draft is down. I love this draft.
Well, I don't know if Deebo will be traded during a draft. That's got to happen in the next 48, I would assume. And I have no idea what the hell happened where some difference in Debo's mind became irreconcilable. And we've all been sleuthing it out all week long. What is your two cents on the subject matter?
Well, I think the simplest one is he's just making this rather garish power play just to get paid by the Niners, and that it's all smoke and that he's throwing a fit and he's putting messages out and just he sat there and he watched everybody get paid at his position and kind of came late in the season, well after Tyreek got paid and Devontae. And he's just throwing a fit, and all the things are nonsense, and he just wants to be paid, and it's just a good old-fashioned pay-me-wide receiver thing. The other thing is just something deeper, right? that he sees himself as this other position, and he doesn't like how he's being used. Look, I've heard maybe he doesn't like Trey Lance. I've heard all kinds of things. All I know is that if I'm trading for him and somebody sends the Niners everything not nailed down to get Deebo Samuel, I don't want him showing up and saying, I'm a wide receiver. I play the X out there. No, I want him to play Deebo.
Right.
I want him to do the whole Deebo thing. So if he has some sort of feelings or a prerogative that it's his right that I am a classical wide receiver and don't use me up in the backfield, I'm not interested.
That's part of the degree of difficulty here because you have to get permission from the 49ers to talk to him. Because it's so rare you want to talk to a wide receiver to acquire him. And the first question isn't, you know, how much, or that question is how much. It's not about money. It's about how much would you be willing to let us use you at running back? Because, and it's not because he's not a good wide receiver. He's actually a very talented wide receiver who's very physical and can run away from people. It's the issue of of how he's used that makes him unique, that makes him Debo, as you pointed out. And that's, you'd have to have that conversation. And that's all got to happen. And the minute the Niners actually give permission to speak to him, kind of gives up the play that I think they're going to make, which is call him up Thursday night and go, well, the draft has started and you're still with us because we're not giving you up. I know you saw Devontae get what he wanted and you saw Tyreek get what he wanted, but what we want is what we hope you want now because you're still here, you know?
Yeah, and I've always said that draft picks are just scratchers. They're very appealing and they're fun and you have a bunch of them and they feel like money until you start getting the penny out and scratching them off and, oh my gosh, this one didn't work, this one didn't work, this one didn't work. Sometimes none of them work. The real players are real cash money in your hands. Debo Samuel is a proven star, however expensive he might be. I don't know if any of these guys are going to amount to anything. And that's the fun of the draft is it's not cash. It's the scratcher thing you buy. It's got cool pictures on it. You got all kinds of fun. And a lot of times you end up broke. So anybody who could trade anything for Debo, I'm still advocating for. Top 10 pick, I don't care. If you can do it and you can pay him and the Niners say we have no choice, I would do it.
Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show from Good Morning Football. Smoke him if you got him for the Bears, huh, on Thursday night?
Oh, my gosh.
So,
and you know, if anything from them, I feel like they'll be trading assets. I just think it's we have Justin Fields and anybody else, come and get him. We are going a full trade, sell, beg, borrow, deal, anything. The floose is loose with the head coach, and he's like just saying we're going to start this whole thing over. Anybody but Fields. If anything, they'll trade back. If anything, they'll trade players. But I wish I could tell you some fiery thing that the Bears are going to do. That was last year, Rich. And I remember sitting at the desk and watching you. You were there at the desk, and the Giants logo is on the bottom left part of the screen, and just magically it changes to a Bears logo, and all of Chicago exploded. And then I think we just saw him turn into a crash test dummy combined with a rodeo clown for 6 months, and now we're trying to put something around him.
Well, what's this? What about him? What are your thoughts on him going into this season? What do you think?
Well, candidly, you know, I after he was released, I had a text exchange with Matt Nagy after he was let go.
Uh-huh.
And I thought he was really cool. And I thought he was really magnanimous. And he just said, you know, someday you and I can talk about this. But I can tell you this, Justin Fields has it. He has everything. He is the real deal. They got the right guy. He will be a star in this league. And went on to explain some things about why it didn't work out. But this is a private text. He could have easily said, you know, the guy's a fraud.
Of course.
He should have stayed in college. He loves him. Loves him. And that guy's the guy who had nothing to gain from that. I do think he's the real deal. I don't even know if he exists in the league. I was in L.A., Rich. His profile is so low because no one watched him last year. I'm sitting in the L.A. hotel, and we're in, you know, the one where all the fans are and all the players are. For some reason, I was on the same schedule as Justin Fields. Every time he would come down the elevator, I'd be coming down. Every time I would go up, not a single person in a lobby filled with jersey-wearing guys having beers, looking for autographs, not a single person stopped him. They didn't even recognize him. His profile is so low, and it's a shame because he's unbelievably talented, and I think this year is going to be rough. I really do.
The biggest move in March is what? What do you think?
You know, it's kind of an under the radar one. I think the Bills adding Vaughn like completed the set. This is a turnkey home. You go into this Bills home and you never have to say, love it. We just got to change the counters and knock out one of those. No, it's set. And they haven't even drafted yet. And you know, I know a lot of people are projecting that they're going to draft this running back, Breece Hall. That's a luxury item. The Bills are a full team. If they whatever draft pick they get in the first round. It is one of those screw-it purchases you don't even need in your house, like heated floors in your bathroom. We don't need them, but my wife likes to have her feet warm in the morning, so I'll spend a couple grand and put them in. That's what they'll do with their first-round pick. They have the full offense. They have the full defense. They didn't need Vaughn. They don't need Vaughn to win the Super Bowl next year, but they did, and it was just a, oh, why the hell not move, and then I think Brandon Bean just lit up a cigar and said, all right, boys, it's on you.
Yeah, I know. I heard Emmanuel Sanders, who I think the world of on Good Morning Football, talk about how Gabriel Davis is really, you know, could be the one. And that's not a slight against Stephon Diggs. It's just like, look out. Like, there's room for improvement on that offense.
There is. And I think the answer to that, too, is look out, is that I don't think Davis is going to be long for the Bills. You know, he'll get that money at some point next year. So it's like, this is the year. And Sanders was incredible. I mean, to have somebody
He's
like
great.
Him who knows everybody, who's been in the big games, who's still so close to his career, I mean, he told this story. You think you've heard all the Josh Allen erotica you could handle about his arm strength and the Paul Bunyan stuff. He said that Josh Allen throws him a touchdown pass in the playoffs, runs into the end zone, screams in his face, "I'm that guy. I am that guy." And I was like, whoa. And Emmanuel's like, "I didn't know he had that in him." Like, he is that guy. He is a psychopath, and that's what he's got.
89th overall pick. That's yours, you're announcing, huh, for the Bills in Vegas?
I'm that guy, Rich.
Okay, what do you got?
Asked, I said yes.
Okay.
And I am suddenly brought to being a fan at home who has watched the draft my entire life.
Yes.
And I'm going to be standing there in Vegas. And I'm nervous, Rich, about one thing in particular.
I know what it is. Can I guess?
I got to stick the kid's name.
Oh.
Whoever it is, the pronunciation. Because if you look at somebody, you look at somebody like Pat McAfee, as great as he was, he had the verbal dexterity to stop his hype job and stick the name Bobby Okereke. And it's tough. I've been doing the work. I'm hoping that I get Alabama running back Brian Robinson or UGA running back James Cook. However, I am prepared should the Bills with the 89th pick draft Iowa State defensive tackle Ioma Iwazurike. I will be ready for Ioma Iwazurike.
Look at you.
And I just want to give that kid the respect of his name.
You're a professional. You're studying film. I get it. Let me also put your mind at ease. Because I've been around the backstage block at the draft
quite a bit,
and I have seen the cards. I've seen how it all works. And they have everything already written out, like a big Mad Lib, you know, with a blank pick, this blank team selects blank, and that they just basically take a sticker with, or at least they used to do this, with the team name, and then they write down the number on the card, and then everything is phonetically hooked on phonics, all of it, because they're, trust me, as much as they want to make sure everybody gets it right, there's one person in particular they want to make sure is phonetically ready all to go, and that's the commissioner. It's all, like, trust me, and, you know, I love McAfee as much as anybody else. It's not like he knew Okereke off the top of his head. Like, it was pretty much spelled out phonetically, and I'm sure they walked him through it. You'll be fine with that. My concern for you is that the team kind of screws you over and trades out of that round. That's the thing that you're all hyped. You're ready to go. You're on the clock. And then all of a sudden, Belichick swoops in and takes the pick. I doubt the Bills would make that trade. But you know what I'm saying? That's my concern.
More than you know. I'll do Good Morning Football Friday morning, then go directly to LaGuardia, get on a plane, screech down in Vegas, go directly to the stage with my bag.
Oh, my God.
And hand that. Hopefully, I don't land and find out, oh, Brandon being traded the pick, I should just go right home. Or, shoot, I'll just hit the tables at Bellagio. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm nervous about that, too.
You didn't get that email about the tables at the Bellagio, Kyle? You didn't get that in your inbox?
You know what? I think they went to spam. I should probably check that. I probably should, but
I'd check your spam folder.
Phonetic spelling sometimes, Rich. Even that throws me off. There's a bunch of umlauts and tildes and ampersands, and I can't read that thing either. I'm so nervous about that. I'm going to do this great performance
and
then butcher the kid's name. But to your point, hopefully there even is a kid, and Brandon Bean didn't try some sort of last-minute antic.
Hey, man, just stay overnight, and you'll do it in the fourth round. That's it. Just stay overnight.
If they'll have me, I'll be happy to be there. It is the second Bills pick of Friday night. And
oh, great. You got
As I promised the Mafia, I can't tell them a lot of things, but I can promise it will not be boring.
I love it. I look forward to it, Kyle. Always appreciate this call, and I do hope to see you in Vegas. That'll be fun.
Give it a ride, Rich. Can't wait to watch it.
All right, bud. Right back at you. Yeah. At Kyle Brandt. Check him out of the Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football. I just decided with Schrager and him on the last 2 days, we can't, you know. It's the elephant in the room. It's the Emmy elephant in the room that we're nominated for the same award.
Yeah.
Best studio show.
Best studio
daily.
Show daily. Yes,
daily. Indeed. Good Morning Football. Stupendous program. So let's take a break. And so we're remotely on time for Garrett Wilson. Here on the program from the Ohio State, will he be the top 10 pick of the Giants, as I've mocked?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, rejoining our Peacock and Sirius XM and Odyssey world. And it's time for, before I head off to Vegas for the hosting the NFL
without
draft.
Us.
Yes, without you. That's correct. You keep saying that.
Well, like, I mean,
you
want to come. We're going to miss you, is all I'm saying.
Oh, that's so nice.
There's rooms available at the Bellagio.
Joining us here.
I just thought we were a team, that's all.
On the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is none other than one of the best wide receivers, if not the top wide receiver on many people's draft boards from The Ohio State, Garrett Wilson. How you doing, Garrett?
I'm doing well.
Where are you in Vegas already?
Yes, sir. So I got here yesterday. So
You did, huh? Okay. How's it? What should I expect upon arrival? Is everything good there? What do you got?
It's not too hot right now. So the weather, we got here at a good time. It's not too hot. There wasn't too many people walking through the strip yesterday. I don't know where you're staying at, but you know, it wasn't too busy. So
okay. Right. Have you ever been to Vegas before? Is this your first trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, Garrett Wilson?
This is not.
No. Okay. Now the way you answered it makes it seem like you are using the old axiom of what happens in Vegas stays there. Is that an appropriate way for me to read what you just put down, Garrett?
No, just to get rid of all doubt, I was actually here for a AU basketball tournament. So they have a big tournament here every summer. I would come. I think I've been here 3 or 4 times. But yeah, playing in a basketball tournament I think it was at Gorman. It would be all throughout the area.
Okay, so what's your hoops game like?
Back then, it was a whole lot better. It was a whole lot better little bet back then. But now, I'm more of a spider. I'm trying to get to the rim. I'm trying to punish anyone that's standing around the rim. That's how I'm feeling about my game right now.
Oh, okay, okay.
I don't have any handles right now. I can't shoot, so I lost that in high school. But besides that, I'm all right.
Well, I think you are all right. I think you've chosen the proper sport for yourself. So when did things begin to click for you as a wide receiver? Do you remember that moment where you're like, okay, I think I can do this to a very high level? Did that moment happen for you, Garrett?
I would say 11th grade is when I really started to, you know, feel good about receivers. So I was always a good football player. I played quarterback growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And receiver, I would say, you know, it took me a little while to just stop trying to just out athletic people and really start to use some skills. So I would say 10th grade going into 11th grade is when I finally started, you know, really, really getting in. So I'm starting to run good routes and everything.
Okay. I know you went to high school in Texas, correct? In Austin, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Did the Longhorns knock on your door at any point in time?
They did. Yes, sir.
Okay. What happened? How come you didn't go there?
Yeah. You know, Texas had had a few down years at that point. I was from Austin, but it wasn't like they came and started recruiting me early, you know, tried to get in on me early. I mean, they kind of came with, you know, the rest of the pack of schools that came and recruited me. And, you know, when I went up to Ohio State and did that visit, you know, it was Coach Meyer and Coach Day at the time. And, you know, the relationship there was just really special. It wasn't like something I had anywhere else at that time. So.
And
yeah, that was beyond my decision.
Plus, is it true you were born in Columbus, Ohio, Garrett Wilson?
I was actually born in Chicago, but I grew up in Columbus, yes, sir.
Okay, damn it. You know, that damn Wikipedia. So you are not born in Columbus, Ohio. You were born in Chicago.
I'm born in Chicago.
Okay, so I guess in a way you're coming home to your roots when you went back to Ohio State, right?
Yes, sir, most definitely.
All right. So Urban Meyer was the one who walked into your living room back in the day?
It was him, Coach Day, yes, sir.
All right. And so at what point did they sell you on going to Ohio State? What happened?
Honestly, you know, it was kind of early. I took my first visit up there, and I was silently committed. And, you know, I'd kind of already committed to a different official visit, so I took that one as well. But, you know, I was silently committed for a while. And, you know, I mean, Coach Meyer, he did a great job recruiting me. You know, it was never really in doubt, I felt like. You know, I feel like he kind of always knew that I was going to be a Buckeye. So
Garrett Wilson here on the Rich Eisen Show. So which of the many Ohio State receivers that are in the NFL have you had a connection with, Garrett Wilson?
Yes, yeah, so I would say Terry, Ben Vick, KJ Hill are the ones that you know, I'm closest with. So I played with KJ Hill and Benjamin Victor.
Yep.
KJ's with the Chargers, Ben's with the Ravens right now. And then Terry, you know, does a great job of you know, talking to the young guys when we came in. So he had just graduated when I got there, but you know, he still was around the program a lot. You know, always comes around and drops knowledge on the young guys.
What about Chris Carter? You've never heard from Chris? Has Chris ever reached out to you?
You know, more. I think he's came around one time, but you know, I've heard from him a few times on Twitter. He's always supported me. You know, ever since the day I committed to Ohio State, actually. So
yeah, he's Mr. Ohio State. There's no doubt about that. Yep. All right. So where do you think you're going? Give me an idea. What do you think, Garrett? Where do you think you're going?
Where do I think I'm going?
Yeah,
I can't say. I don't know. I know as well as anyone else knows. You know, I kind of just do my visits and you know, put my best foot forward. You know, I feel like I did a good job finishing out my pro day the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from then it's kind of just been out of my control. I just have been going through day by day and trying not to worry about it, trying not to think about it too much. You know, it's a blessing to be here. I'm just kind of, you know, looking at it, and I'm going to the NFL, and wherever I end up, it'll be a blessing.
So where did you visit then? Let me try and suss it out for you. Where did you visit, okay, Garrett Wilson?
I visited Washington, mm-hmm, Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Both the New York Jets.
What about the Giants?
Not the Giants.
What's their malfunction? Okay. All right. Maybe they're trying to. Who else?
And then Lions. And there's one more. Lions and Carolina. There it is.
Carolina. Would you have a problem playing your pro football in the state of Michigan, Garrett?
No. You know, I can, you know, the rivalry is only, you know, week 12 of each season, or week 13, you know, one of those weeks. You know, we live it out through always. You know, I don't really like the team up north, but I gotta help my team out. And if I was in Detroit, you know, that doesn't change anything. You know,
yeah, but what state is Detroit in, Garrett? What state is Detroit in?
I forget. I can never really get it. I don't remember. I just know Detroit.
I mean, you know, if you do play there, Garrett, you're going to have to write your name and address down somewhere. Like, you're not going to, like, put a red X on your paperwork, are you? So what you going to do?
You know what? So if it was game week, I would put a red X and just put MI. But, you know, throughout, okay, the rest of the week, it's going to be it's MI. You know? So as long as I don't have to write it out fully, I'm all right. But you know, the red X would happen during game week.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So is that part of the reason why you're doing Old Spice? Because there's no M in Old Spice? Is that part of the reason why you're hooked up with them, Garrett?
You could say that. Okay. You could say that.
What are you doing with them, with Old Spice?
Yes. You know, the big thing I'm doing is working with them throughout this draft week, and it's a great product. You know, it's a product I've been using since I was, you know, 5 years old, 6 years old, since I started using deodorant. You know, no one had to, you know, sell me on anything. I love the product, and, you know, they got this new great product, Old Spice Sweat Defense Dry Spray, which gives me 24/7 sweat protection with daily use so I can concentrate on learning my new playbook. I'm not worried about my hygiene.
Okay.
You know, being a player, that's huge for you.
Well, listen, Garrett, I've seen you play. You know, you've disappointed me on occasion with your play on certain Novembers. I know you play like a grown-ass man, but you used deodorant when you were six? I mean, come on. Wow. That's impressive, Garrett. I mean,
you know what? That might have been a little bit over. I'm trying to think when I started using deodorant. I think it was like 8 or 9.
Okay.
So I really don't recall.
All right.
I don't. That's a good call out. Good,
you know, I mean, it's. Oh, gosh. Okay. So a team gets what when they get Garrett Wilson? Who do they get with Garrett Wilson? Garrett.
A really passionate player, a really passionate teammate, and someone that, you know, takes a lot of pride in winning every rep. You know, I feel like that's the player they're getting. So, you know, someone that treats the CEO and the janitor the same. I feel like I'll bring that all to the table when I get on a new team here on Thursday.
Okay. Who's with you in Vegas? Who's part of your group?
Family of seven. Look, family of seven is here.
Your family of seven. Okay. So who's in the family of seven? Who do you have?
Yeah. So I've got three older brothers, starting with Shea, Cameron, and Donovan. They'll all be here. And a little sister who goes to Ohio State as well, Sydney. I got two friends from high school coming up as well. And then my girlfriend is also coming up, who's also enrolled at Ohio State. So it'll be a great week. I'm really excited.
Okay. Now, when you say Ohio State, which Ohio State is that? Because I get confused.
You know what? It's D.
Oh, my bad. I thought it was an Ohio State. My bad. You know, I just didn't know where the Ohio State was. Oh, my gosh.
You know, I know you went to team up north, you know. I know y'all got the bragger, right? The 365.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sitting up in my chair right now, Garrett. That's for sure. But, you know, I have no problem saying Ohio State. I don't have a problem writing the letter. I'm cool with it. I just don't understand this whole team up north thing and can't write the letter M, and you know it. Yeah, I hope Detroit chooses you, not only because you'd be a second overall selection, which would be an incredible honor, but I would love to just have you wind up in the state of Michigan. That would be awesome. That would be great. I would love that.
No, just it's a great state. All jokes aside, it is a great state. I've been up there a few times.
Terrific.
Great state.
No,
I know. I would love to end up in Detroit.
Garrett, congratulations on an incredible career at The Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio. And I look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas. Good luck, and let's connect again as we go along with your professional career. I'd appreciate it.
No, that sounds awesome. Thank you, Mr. Eisen.
Rich. No, hold on a second. No, Rich. It's Rich. I mean, I'm. That's honestly.
Like that.
Yeah, please. You and I could. We. It's Rich. You know.
I appreciate that, Rich.
Or based on last November, your father.
Wow.
Was that wrong?
Well, you didn't play in the game.
If you would have said that before I declared for the draft, I would have came back.
I like your style, Garrett Wilson. I like it. I'll see you in Vegas, sir. Thanks again. Appreciate it. You got this, Garrett Wilson.
Wow. Who's your daddy?
Daddy, and what
is that
do?
Too soon? Is it too soon?
I mean, it was aggressive.
I'm here for it, though.
Well, I like him.
Mr.
Are the
Eisen.
Giants doing it? Maybe should I redo my mock? The Giants didn't have him in, or are they doing it like an okey-doke? They don't want to show their hand?
I was happy to hear that. I don't need him on the Giants.
Is that what that could be? Like, they don't want to show their hand? Why the hell wouldn't they want Garrett Wilson? What are we doing? They don't need to. The eye in the sky doesn't lie.
They've got a lot of other problems
that need
addressed.
They address it in pick five.
I'm just hoping the worst for their draft, to be honest. I mean, just keeping it real.
By the way, I know this draft isn't a quarterback draft.
I mean, Daniel Jones wants Garrett Wilson.
No, but if you have a quarterback already in, I know you could sit there and say, if Daniel Jones is your quarterback or not. He's the quarterback of the Giants for the moment. Yeah. And they're going to have a week after the draft. They got to choose to pick up his fifth-year option. I bet you they won't. They're going to make him play this thing out. And if he's dynamite and terrific and he finally takes that incredible next step forward, because they should at pick five get someone to protect him on his backside. And a terrific player at that. I chose Evan Neal for the Giants. You're hearing he might go number one overall, so he might not be there. But the reason why I bring all this up is if you think Daniel Jones is your guy, right? Go get him Garrett Wilson.
Worked for Joe Burrow last year.
Yeah, it did. And you can get him the protector two picks before. And I know what we're saying about this draft. Not a bad draft to have two of your top 10, two in the top 10. Not a bad draft to have two in your top 10. You're going to get yourself some really terrific, talented players at some very important positions like corner or defensive end or a skill position. My apologies to the offensive lineman I just slagged in a way. The Jets have two and the Giants have got two. Not bad.
Unless they screw something up.
How are you going to screw it up? I mean, honestly.
How?
Like, I mean, hold on a second.
It's possible. It's very possible.
In all honesty here, okay, my mock draft, you know, what? I'll probably crumple it up. I'll bring it with me to the set in Vegas. Because if I get it correct, if I get it right, I will be holding it up.
Yeah, you're going to laminate it.
Hold it up, right? Hold it up like Deion scoring from the 30-yard line, right? But the 10 names that I have here, Aiden Hutchinson, Trevon Walker, Jermaine Johnson II, Sauce Gardner, Evan Neal, Ike Ekwonu, Garrett Wilson, Kayvon Thibodeau, Derek Stingley Jr., Drake London. Clearly, you can't say every single one of these players is going to have a dynamite career.
Yeah.
But these guys are, and I didn't even include Kyle Hamilton in this mix or Charles Cross. These are all players I think that anybody would agree is a top 10 pick in an NFL draft without a quarterback in it.
Yeah.
And that's why Daniel Jeremiah said yesterday he's waking up to texts from general managers who already have the quarterback position handled saying, tell me how many quarterbacks going in the top 10 and please tell me it's a lot. Because they want all these names pushed down to them. Mm-hmm. Every single quarterback that's chosen in the top 10 means one of these names is not read out. And if you're, say, Minnesota, and you could again say, well, their quarterback situation isn't handled, in their mind it is, for at least this year, for Kirk Cousins, you're sitting there at 12, you're Minnesota, you're sitting there at 14 for the Ravens. You want one of these names pushed down by two or three quarterbacks taken of teams that might panic and go get one. That's why I think, you know, Kyle's saying this is an interesting draft, and it's not just us at NFL Network or anywhere else like ESPN where we want you to watch. Of course we do. It's not lip service. This is intriguing in its own right, certainly since we saw five quarterbacks go in the first round last year. That's not usually going to happen. Certainly not the first three. So I enjoyed that, Garrett Wilson. I like when players come on and chop it up.
Yeah.
And certainly allow me to call them their daddy.
Well, you like them better, especially after they leave the Ohio State. That's when you
said he wants to come. He was going to come back and if he, play his eligibility.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't say that beforehand.
Beforehand what? Before November last year?
Well, he said if you would have said it while he was still there, he would have came back.
Okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. Sometimes, you know,
I didn't see you
going to the very end, too. Savvy veteran move.
Right. After he called
him goodbye?
Yeah.
Yeah. After he called him dad.
That's one of those, Mike, you don't need to pick up the phone and say, hey, thank you. Just like when I totally insult a guest on the way out the door, you don't have to say, thanks for coming on.
I
appreciate that sort
of
thing.
You like
doing that. You like doing that.
Yeah. I like
you're a good man, Mike.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
They like it. Hey, hang on a couple minutes with me.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll wrap up the show and talk to Del Tufo.
Why not?
I don't know. All right. Well, we're back with more on set up the rest of the week in a moment.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, So Dumb It's Criminal is with the new show with Snoop Dogg. Snoop and a panel of comedians roast hilarious crime fails caught on camera. Stream the original series now. You go to peacocktv.com to sign up. So Dumb It's Criminal. Have you done anything that would make this show Del Tufo?
Oh, Mikey. Uh-oh.
We don't want to go that way.
We don't want to go with that one?
We don't even want to walk on that
Snoop Dogg, everybody.
Seriously, Brockman and TJ can tell you.
All right, going out the door here for this draft, you know, it was interesting. Kyle Brandt said that this draft, the story of it is that it's unpredictable.
We've heard that from a few people.
Right. To me, the story of this draft is the quarterbacks. Every draft is about the quarterbacks. Every draft is about the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. It's a quarterback-driven league, and thus the draft is always driven by quarterbacks. And you could say, what are you talking about, Rich? Your top 10 doesn't even have one. Yes, that's correct.
And that's the point.
That's the point.
Right.
Normally, it's filled with them. And I guess if we were doing a what's more likely, Chris, if I had to ask of what's more likely about this draft, what's more likely? That there are no quarterbacks taken in the top 10, or there are three quarterbacks taken in the first round? And the answer to that would be, I think both's going to happen. If I had to predict, I would say there's three quarterbacks taken in the first round, and there'll be none in the top 10. Because you'll see teams trade back in to get that fifth year of contractual control. Again, the Chiefs have two first-round picks, 29th and 30th. If one of these quarterbacks like Corral or Howell or Ritter or Willis is still on the board or Pickett is still on the board, who's not coming in and calling Brett Veach up and say, let's talk. We'll take 29, we'll take 30 because it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? If I'm the Chiefs, I'll give up 30 and you'll take 30 because it's as good as 29. It's not like the Chiefs are going to use the 29th pick on the quarterback you want, right? The Bengals at 31. Why wouldn't the Bengals say, okay, we got our quarterback. You want to come in? We'll take more picks. Mm-hmm. There's the Lions at 32, and you got to go before the Lions at 32 because the Lions at 32 are going to might pull the trigger
on
it.
They might take one.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that's going to happen.
That'd be a nice Spencer Ritter spot,
because that's we've kind of dig him, we like him, yeah. You know, we're of that mindset of
right now.
We're also of the mindset that he's one, right? We heard from Sauce Gardner
in the first
hour of the show. It's another reason why to love Sauce Gardner is the guy's a winner. He's part of a program that's won. Now, the team that could bust this whole thing of definitely not going to be a top 10 quarterback. The team that could bust it up is Carolina. Now, Carolina's an interesting scenario here because they have the sixth overall selection, which might be too high for one of these folks. And they don't have the option of using any draft capital for this year to get back into the first round because their next pick after the sixth overall pick is not until round four.
Ooh.
Smoke them if you got them. No seconds, no thirds after their pick, the sixth overall pick. Carolina's next pick isn't until round four. All the way, it's a compensatory pick, 137th overall. So it's not even a high fourth rounder. Their fourth rounder, 111th overall, belongs to the Jets. That's probably the Sam Darnold trade, if I had to guess. So what's Carolina going to do? If they like the guy, they got to use him at six. They can use draft capital from next year to get back into the first round this year. That's possible. So Scott Fitterer, their general manager, was asked this question about the quarterback situation. And my colleague Cameron Wolf tweeted about it, saying that they like a couple quarterbacks that would feel comfortable taking at number six. He also noted there's three or four teams he's heard from that are serious about trading up to six. I don't know if it's for a quarterback. And they probably would like to trade out of six. They need more. Like I just told
picks.
You. Unless you don't F them picks.
Yeah, but if you could trade out of six, move down in the first round and pick up a third, I think you do that.
Can you put that back up there one more time, Chris? Mike, because there's another line as well at the last part of that that's interesting. Panthers would love to get more picks and trade back if their must-have prospects are gone. I don't know. Who's their must-have prospects that could be gone? Because I think they'll take an offensive lineman if they're available. That's who I'm putting in my mock. A defensive end? Like, is Kayvon Thibodeau not one of their must-have prospects? Is Charles Cross not one of their must-have prospects? I don't know who would be gone after 5-6. So just some food for thought. I asked Jack Andrade, my NFL Network research colleague, who will be next to me at the draft off camera. I asked him, I want the longest it's gone, drafts have gone without a quarterback being taken. Top 5, top 10, top 15. The last time none were in the top 5, 10, or 15 in a draft was 2013 when E.J. Manuel was the first off the board at 16, which is not the best indication of how good the quarterback draft is going to be this year if that's how long it goes. That may be a fair or unfair assumption. That's up to you. None in the top 20. The last time there were none in the top 20. 1997. There were none in the top 25 that year. Steve Mariucci finally ended that streak by taking good old Jim Druckenmiller. Druckenmiller, pardon me. Yeah, I'm a little Druckenmiller myself. 26th overall. The last time none were in the first round, 1996, when Tony Banks went to the Rams in the second round, 42nd overall. The longest it's ever been for a quarterback to be selected in the draft. Could you imagine if this happens here? 76th overall in the third round when the Colts took Chris Chandler in 1988 then. Those are your benchmarks for a draft that we've been talking about for months that is not a quarterback draft and might not have one taken at the top. Of course, the Chris Brockman, TJ Jefferson, Randolph, and Mortimer Duke bet times 20 as to whether Kenny Pickett's a top 5 pick in this year's draft. We'll get the answer to that in a couple days. Brockman says yes,
top
TJ
five,
said no. I think you're going to get the $20, TJ.
I'm thinking so.
And it's in terms of, you know, whether the picks matter or not, I guess we'll find out one day. You know, the Rams don't pick until 104th overall.
Oh, my goodness.
Third round. It's the second comp pick that they got for the Lions hiring Brad Holmes as the general manager last year. The longest a defending Super Bowl champ has ever gone without selecting a pick in the NFL draft was your 2017 New England Patriots, Chris, when they took Derek Rivers, 83rd overall. That's the latest pick by the reigning Super Bowl champs ever. Just food for thought as I head out the door. Ryan Leaf will take you the rest of the way, but I'll be calling in and checking in.